Hey, good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis on the other side of the glass producing things for us. And we are joined this segment by Gary Fike from the K-State Riley County Extension. Good to have you in once again.
Thank you, Brandon.
And you've brought some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which is always a good sign.
Well, I listened to KMAN pretty faithfully and heard that was the favorite Halloween candy of all time. So there you go.
And these are 6 full-size candy bars. So if you get these in your Halloween basket, I mean, you're doing pretty well. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, they're not the little ones. Dave just got to break into them right away.
I have an important announcement to make. Gary Fike has just now become my all-time favorite Riley County Extension agent. And the reason for that, you know, and previous agents have yes. You know, they brought stuff like this, but it was always like healthy stuff.
Like what? Broccoli?
Not Reese's. Not Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. No, I don't think they ever brought in broccoli. Yeah, I take that back because, you know, they brought in cupcakes and stuff, you know, around fair time.
Yeah.
Cookies, different things like that. Yeah. Mostly cookies.
Yeah. Well, you can't beat it. Well, you know, the second favorite candy was what? Snickers?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my number one.
Yeah.
But Reese's are pretty good. And the Smarties thing I'm a little disappointed they were that far down.
Me too.
I love Smarties.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Smarties and Tootsie Rolls. You know, those are high on my list. And Milk Duds.
Milk Duds.
Yeah. Milk Duds. Hey, I couldn't resist the opportunity. Thanks for my brunch.
Yes. You're welcome. A healthy brunch.
Yeah, exactly. Peanut butter. There's healthy.
I haven't even had breakfast yet, so this will be my breakfast, this candy bar
here. You can
have
the rest.
I don't need that much, but I'll take one. Good to have you along here, Gary. And,
thank you.
We're going to talk about some important topics here today, including family financial management, which everybody can use some tips on.
Yeah, you know, Brandon, I really have a sincere interest in this program, personally and professionally. And last time we visited about this a little bit, we're going to get into a little bit more what we have planned. So what we're working on is a four-part family financial management program. It'll probably be a lunch and learn kind of affair where we will cover all kinds of topics that will include, number one, home budgeting, saving for retirement, debt reduction, and life insurance and estate planning. So we're going to try to make these reasonably short in duration, and this will be our pilot program, obviously, first time we've tried this. And then hopefully from that point on, what we will do is do some one-on-one financial coaching with those people who would like to pursue it a little bit further.
This is open to anybody that needs maybe a little heads up on some of this stuff.
Yes, absolutely. We're always open to the public on all of our programs. We don't, we don't discriminate on anything, of course. So we're happy to work with anybody who would like to work with us. Now, the timeline on this thing is probably going to start November, December, there will be plenty of publicity out about it. But, you know, the biggest thing that worries me from the standpoint of family financial management is the debt thing. So Americans right now, and this is from the Federal Reserve, Americans are $13.2 trillion in debt, and that covers everything. Of course, it covers mortgages, which I don't necessarily view as a bad thing. That's if you want to say there's a good debt, that's maybe a good debt to have, because generally homes will appreciate in value unless you're just in over your head or underwater on a mortgage. But it's just amazing to me there's that much debt out there in the country, and that averages to about $135,000 per person, which is and about $93,000 of that is actually mortgage debt. So the rest is credit card debt, auto loan debt, student loans, which is a big thing we'll talk about a little bit more here in the future. But it inhibits your ability as an individual or a family to save for retirement, to have emergency funds set aside for your car blows up, you have a big medical expense that insurance doesn't cover all the costs associated with that. And so it's just a little bit more about trying to save money and be more conservative with your money.
I think once people understand that aspect of it here, they can appreciate a lot more of what it takes. Because you feel like once you've saved for something, you feel like you've accomplished something.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. You know, one of the things is having an emergency fund set aside. And when I say emergency fund, I'm not talking about replacing 3 to 6 months worth of income. If you lose your job, if somebody gets hurt, can't go to work, and those kinds of things. But the emergency fund, we're recommending about $1,000 just to have in a passbook savings account or some other investment vehicle that you can get to quickly and easily in case something blows up. Because what happens so many times in society is if we have a car problem, we have a medical issue, we can pay it with a credit card at 15, 16, 20% interest, if we don't pay that off in full every month, and that's where we get into the problem. The thing is, people need to have that money so that they don't get caught and have to add that extra debt to their credit card, because then that just kind of becomes a snowball, if you will, of debt that is hard to get rid of sometimes. And people find it hard to save. American savings rates aren't really very good, never have been, haven't been for a long time. But having that available cash to take care of a problem is really a big bonus.
I think there's one segment of the population that gets, I don't know, they get the brunt of it here is college students. Maybe they don't learn it at an early age of financial planning. And you get the credit card offers as soon as you turn 18 for all these different things. And it looks like free money. It's not free money. You have to pay that back. But would this be of interest, do you think, to that segment of the population?
Oh, absolutely. And student loan debt is now the largest single item of debt. Americans have nearly $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. And the average student loan debt amount is $28,000. You know, when I don't want to give up years here, but I guess I have to say it. 40 years ago when I started college and I graduated from high school and started college, I took out guaranteed student loans. They were 7%. You had to pay them back in 10 years, which I did. Took out another one in grad school about 30 years ago and paid those back. But what's happened is the cost of tuition, room, and board at most universities has gone up greater than the rate of inflation. And so it takes more and more money to get a 2 or 4 year degree. And we've got, matter of fact, I had a friend in graduate school in 1991, and he and his wife both had student loans coming back for a master's degree from another state university, $100,000, and that was 30 years ago. And that's like having another mortgage payment. I mean, when you start out in life and all of a sudden you've got $100,000 or $200,000 debt, you want to buy a house, you probably need a car because you're driving a college beater car. That's what my kids drive. And so, they're just all of a sudden, you may have a great salary, but it gets ate up pretty quick by debt payments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's unfortunate here for a lot of folks. It's interesting here that you talk about the retirement here, and I don't know if enough people are saving for retirement. It doesn't matter, regardless of age. You can always save more.
Yeah, the old adage always was, 10% to charity, 10% to retirement or savings for yourself, and the rest to service all of your other, all of your other obligations is, I guess, the word I'm looking for. But, there's nearly half of people in the United States have no retirement savings. What is more disturbing to me is people that are age 55 to 64 that are thinking about retiring. The average, now that's the average, so some people have much more, some have none, is $80,000. Well, $80,000 will not go very far if you plan on living 20 years. Now, the hope is, of course, on retirement savings is that you will be able to live off the income that's generated by those savings, mutual funds, whatever investment vehicle you've chosen to use, gold, land, real estate, whatever. But you expect to live off of the income produced by that capital asset. And so when you don't do that, then you just eat into it. So if you got $80,000 and let's say it's earning 5%, you know, that's not very much money. And too many people are relying upon Social Security to save them in the end. And while Social Security is a great thing, and I don't think it will ever go away, it will be difficult to for a lot of people, not everyone, but for a lot of people to live on what Social Security. It was never meant to be a full retirement fund. Social Security was developed to be as a as an appendage to other retirement savings.
Mm. And again, we're talking with Gary Fike here, Riley County Extension director here, and so you have another program also coming up as well, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We've got another program that we've just kind of gotten the date nailed down on. It's going to be Wednesday, February the 26th, and it'll be held in Leonardville. But one of my interests has always been rural revitalization and rural entrepreneurship. And so with our Community Vitality Program Development Committee, which are actually elected officials here in Riley County, we sat down and planned some of this out the other day, and the focus will be on small business owners in rural areas, and we've got some really good keynote speakers coming. So one of them, we've invited the governor's office. The governor has an initiative for rural prosperity, and it sounds like Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers is going to be coming out to speak at that, to talk about the governor's initiative. We'll also have Lynn Hendrickson from the USDA Rural Development out to talk about grant and loan programs available. We'll have Lori Piper from the Small Business Development Center and in the Chamber office located here in Manhattan to come out and talk. But more importantly, I think, to me anyway, is that we're having it in a rural setting. We're going to have rural entrepreneurs there that will talk about their experiences, what their challenges were, what the obstacles they had to overcome, what they would recommend to new business owners, what they think they need to do. But we want to open this up to anything in agriculture, anything, a car repair shop, a food truck, a restaurant, rural manufacturing. We want to focus on any of those areas and be able to share with people what they might be thinking about if they want to open their own small business.
That's really the lifeblood of communities is stuff like that, you know. And food trucks is a great example, I think, of a small business that could really do well in a small town.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're seeing more and more of those, of course, everywhere we go. And we see that at the Riley County Fair with all the food vendors that come. You know, those folks go to county and state fairs and other events and make their living doing that. And if you enjoy food and food preparation and traveling, that's a great way to go.
So when is that event coming up again?
That will be Wednesday, February the 26th. It will be at Leonardville at Frontage 109, and there will be publicity out on that, and we'll probably talk about that more again on a future program, but yeah.
Oh, well, that's great. And you know, kind of just goes to the whole mission again with you guys at the Extension and the rural revitalization and such an important aspect here. We don't want to see these communities die. We want to see them continue to thrive.
That's correct. And, you know, we've seen a lot of rural communities in Kansas just almost disappear. My hometown, and Dave and I have talked about Ramona before and Elmo and the small towns. You know, part of it is access to, you know, distance, I should say. If you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere and you're 50, 60 miles from a big retail center, a big town where maybe jobs can be had and you can live in the small community and drive back, it makes a difference too.
But yeah, absolutely. It's tough out there, and you know, for folks to thrive here, and that kind of, you know, budgeting's a little different too, I would imagine, for the rural areas, or is it kind of the same?
Oh, for families, you mean?
Yeah.
Families. Yes, it's always the same way, and it doesn't matter whether you live in the country or in the city. You know, there's people who will spend. We'll spend money no matter how much you make. If you're making $200,000 a year, you're probably going to spend $200,000 a year. If you make $30,000 a year, you spend $30,000 a year. So budgeting is a big part of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, we're talking with Gary Fike here, Riley County Extension. Any other business items we need to get to here?
I will just briefly mention, you know, we did the VITA program, the Volunteer Tax Assistance Program. We'll be doing that again this year, thanks to the United Way and the grant we have received from them to continue doing that program. We're at the Manhattan Public Library. We recruit volunteers to prepare tax returns for people who can't afford it, people who are under $55,000 a year in income. And this last year, we prepared 662, or our volunteers prepared 662 returns. And IRS values a return preparation fee of $175. So we saved our constituents about $116,000 in tax preparation fees.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
And such an important service here because, you know, you can tackle it yourself, but you may have done something wrong here, and they're experts.
Absolutely. And people, a lot of the clients that we get are, you know, uncomfortable with preparing their own tax return. And so either it doesn't get filed, and they may not owe any tax anyway, but, you know, the plus side of the other plus side of this program, Brandon, is we had these folks that we helped got over $800,000 in tax refunds. That money gets recirculated back through the community in terms of their rent payment to debt payment, spending at the grocery store or other retail outlets. So, I mean, that money gets recirculated, and that's the part that I think is probably most important.
You know, a lot of Americans use the tax time, you know, when they get those refunds as a way to maybe start saving money. Is that a good tip, or should you, you know, that money, I know you can change your adjustments on your, I forget what W-4 or whatever it would be.
Right, right.
What is your suggestion? Do you think you should keep more of your money during the year? Or
you know, if you look at it from a practical standpoint, you really should try to match the withholding with what it will actually be instead of understating your allowances and then getting the refund, because otherwise the government's using your money for 12 months, right? So, but this is my recommendation. People use this as a forced savings. The problem is a lot of times when we get that windfall, whether it's $500 or $5,000, people tend to spend it. And if you're having debt issues, the best thing you can do with that money is to put it in the bank and keep it there and maybe spend a little bit of it. I mean, reward yourself a little bit, but keep that money where you need it for those things you need it for.
All right. Good advice. Yeah. And I'm guilty of that myself sometimes. I get that big chunk of change in April and or March, and boy, something shiny looks good and we want to go buy it. Yeah, it's very tempting.
I understand that.
Yeah. Well, Gary, appreciate you coming out here, and we'll bring you on again sometime down the road.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for the Reese's peanut butter cups.
You bet.
Yes, sir.
Stay tuned. More in Focus after this on K-Man.